What wonderful lessons our Lord has to teach us today through these sacred readings of the most holy liturgy of the Mass. First of all, we see St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, in which he exhorts the Romans, that is, he exhorts us. We are Romans. We are Roman Catholics. He exhorts us to live away from sin and to live in justice and in grace. If we live in sin, we will die. If we live in grace, we shall live. Now, it's interesting here that he touches upon that doctrine which the Church has, of which we have spoken in the last few days also, that once we die, we can neither sin nor have grace. And the teaching of the Church is that even our Lord, once he has died and risen from the dead, he cannot merit any graces for us. It's all done here in his 33 years, and especially the 3 days of the Passion and death. Once he is in heaven, he can bless us, he can do all kinds of things for us, but he cannot merit grace. That is why when his disciples asked St. Louis-Marie de Montfort, great apostle of Our Lady, of the Rosary, of the Immaculate Heart, what are your thoughts now that you're dying? He was on his deathbed and he said, I am so happy because once I die, I will never sin again. I will never offend God again. And so likewise, as you cannot offend God, you cannot merit graces or indulgences or anything else after you have died. And so everything has to be done now in this time that we have been given. And so our Lord has gained for us all these graces through his life and his death and resurrection. But now he sits with the Father and the Holy Spirit on their thrones in heaven, and he lavishes graces upon us, but he doesn't merit any more graces. Neither does the Blessed Mother. She has already gone from this life to the next, but she lavishes many graces upon us. And then in the context of this too, which is all one thing, just as there is but one Lord, one God, one baptism, one holy Catholic and apostolic Church, there is one faith. One faith. It is not little bits and pieces here and there and wherever. No, it is one faith. And so in the Gospel, in the same one faith, here recounted by St. John Mark through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we see this episode of the multiplication of fishes and loaves. And our Lord, this is before his death, of course, but our Lord is very concerned for them. And he is very concerned for you. Not only for your eternal life, which is the most important by far, all the deaths of this life cannot equal to heaven. But he's also concerned about the things of this life. And so your successes, your privations, your failures, all of that is something that he is concerned very much about. He's also concerned about all your spiritual as well as your physical needs. And this is very important to remember. He did not just come to save our souls, he came to serve our persons. That is, our bodies and souls together, which will rise again on the last day to receive the reward or the punishment for our conduct on this earth. And so our Lord is concerned. They have been with me for 3 days, and you thought my sermons were long. Huh. 3 days, you can forget that one. I'm not doing it. Not with my voice the way it's doing it with the climate of the jungle in which we live. And yet he's concerned. He knows. He's not aloof. And so he asks, well, how many pieces of bread, how many loaves of bread, how many fish do you have? And they say, I think, you know, just a couple, seven maybe, and a few fish. And our Lord, first of all, he does something that all of us need to do always. He gives thanks. And of course, this is a foreshadowing of that which we do here today and every day, and hope to do so every day till our death, to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass. No matter what, no matter who. And so, it foreshadows this most holy sacrifice, which is the Eucharist, which is the perfect, the total act of thanksgiving. Gratias agere. We say at the preface, gratias agimus Domino Deo nostro, dignum et justum est. This is what this is. He's foreshadowing it. And then he blesses it. Just as at the altar, the priest, in the person of Christ, in persona Christi, blesses the gifts, the bread and wine that are brought forth from your offerings, from your sacrifices. They don't just rain down from heaven. They have to be bought. And of course, like everything else, it's more expensive. And then, in the person of Christ, I and every other priest that celebrates the holy sacrifice blesses these gifts. And then asks for the Holy Spirit to come upon them, the epiclesis of the Mass, which is found in every sacrament. And thus he gives thanks and he blesses. It's foreshadowing of the Eucharist. Unless we think, well, okay, that was bread and fish. How can he give us his body and blood, soul and divinity to eat and to drink? Now, for several centuries, the faithful also drank from the chalice. But many of them died because it is not disinfectant. It is wine that has transubstantially changed to the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. So only the priests at the altar. And so when we eat his body and blood, and I drink his body and blood in the chalice also, this is the most wonderful, the most incredible gift that possibly can be given to us. And how can that be? Now the same person who gives this to us is the same person who multiplied seven fish and seven loaves of bread and a few fish to feed 4,000 men, which means 4,000 men and those of their wives that were there and their servants and their slaves. Yes, and they had slaves that had not yet been abolished. And their children. And like many of you here, Deo gratias, they had 6, 5, 7, 8, 10 children. And so it was not just a small crowd. Multiply that. 4,000 by 2, 8,000. By servants, 20,000. By children, 40, 50,000. He did this because he is God. And we are to doubt that he's giving us his body and blood, soul and divinity, in the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist. So we give thanks to God. And we do it through him, through his Holy Spirit. Gratias agimus Domino Deo nostro. We give thanks to God, to our Lord, in Jesus Christ and in their Holy Spirit. And so we give thanks for this. It was not despair. For whatever reason, God has placed you and me in this time in which we live. Now, we could have been in the time of Saints Peter and Paul, whose feast we celebrated yesterday and today. We could have been crucified upside down. We could have been beheaded. And the millions of martyrs of the church, including our own Saint Stephen, proto-martyr, after Pentecost. But he has not wanted us to live in the year 30 or 60 or 70 AD. He has wanted you and me to live in the year 2024. In the sufferings, the sacrifices, the persecutions are different. Some of us are having to give up everything for Christ. We have not yet been asked to do that, but we may. And so we need to trust in Him and put our hope in Him and beseech Him. In this time, when there is a de facto schism in the church, when all kinds of evils reign in the church, beyond our telling, and I cannot tell you because there are children present, we need to remember that despite of that evil, this is the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, the church which is the body of Christ. He will not abandon us. It may seem so sometimes. And believe you me, I feel that every day, several times a day. Quousque tandem, Domine, quousque tandem. How long then, O Lord? And I look forward with great joy to the moment of my death, which may or may not be soon, that I may be liberated from all the evils of this life and from the wicked men that have the church hostage. But in the meantime, we are here. And here we plan to stay unless God decides otherwise. So fear not. He who multiplied the loaves and fishes, He who gives us His body and blood, soul and divinity, transubstantially present in the host and in the chalice of wine, He can do anything He wants. And so we beseech Him through Saints Peter and Paul, princes of the church, through the Blessed Mother and all the saints, to assist us in this day, in this the day of our need, the day of our want, the day of our suffering. In nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.